encourage people when they come to a church service to look for a nugget, something they can take home with them. I don't know where you went, but thank you for that nugget. There you are. Thank you so much. The whole idea that faith is about intimacy with God, and that was just powerful. And there are more things, too. Now, you're probably wondering, you've got the rocks and you've got the string. What in the world is going on? I just want to add, please don't throw the rocks. Two reasons. You're probably going to miss, and there's big windows behind me, so let's just keep it there. And we'll get to the rocks and the string, but welcome. Thank you for spending part of your Easter celebration with us here at Timberwood. It's good to be together. It really is. And you've got a verse up on the screen. I just want to read that because we're going to be working out of this one verse today, and we're actually going to do something kind of interesting with it. We're going to work backwards through it. But anyway, let me just read it. It's from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Bottom line is this: the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the core of everything we believe. Take the resurrection away, and you know what? We got nothing. We got absolutely nothing. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a couple of verses. He says this: "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." That's it. That's it. He says that's the gospel. That's first importance. And all this other stuff that we sometimes get shook up about, whether it's a ritual or a ceremony or something else, a particular style of music, all of that fades to the fact that three great truths: Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again from the dead. And because of that, according to this, we have hope. Why do we have hope? Because when Jesus died, he took the penalty for all of our sins, the sins of the entire world. He, in essence, he made himself responsible for them, and he took the punishment for them. And we see that in Scriptures. The moment he died, the Bible says that this curtain that was in the temple, the Jewish temple, ripped from top to bottom. It's an enormous curtain, about 6 inches thick. God was the one who ripped that curtain and parted it to show that the way back to him, the way to intimacy, if you will, was available. And by allowing his son, Jesus, to rise from the dead or bringing him back to life, he showed us that, yes, he has the power to give us life and to give us hope regardless of what the situation looks like. This is something that he can do. Why? Because he did it with Jesus. And so, again, he can do it with us. And you know, one of the things I've discovered is that there's been a lot of research done into the resurrection. There's an enormous amount of historical evidence for the resurrection, even going so far. And you might get a kick out of this, the detail nerds in the room. Some people did some pretty good work and discovered that in all likelihood, Resurrection Sunday occurred on April 5th, 33 A.D., It's kind of crazy when you think about it, because it's April 5th today. 1,993 years later. But it says up there, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have living hope. And I did a lot of thinking about that this last week. That phrase just kind of jumped out at me, living hope. I mean, what in the world does that mean? It's not wishful thinking, because wishful thinking doesn't have any basis. I'll just kind of hope and something happens, and it's not hope against hope. Living hope is where something is actually happening. And I thought about the living hope that we have because Jesus is alive, and Jesus is active, and Jesus is working with us. And Jesus is working in us. And I started thinking about all the things that we go through. I started thinking about shame and how many of us struggle with shame, either because of something that we did or something that someone else did to us. And yet living hope tells us there will come a time when the shame will be no more and there will be freedom. Freedom from that shame. Why? Because Jesus is alive. I thought about guilt, which is a little different than shame, because guilt is because of something I did do. And the fact of the matter is that we're all guilty to one extent or another, but if I understand living hope, and because Jesus is alive, we have forgiveness. If you're familiar with the term expunged, the guilt is expunged from our lives when we put our trust in Jesus. I thought about fear and how some of us struggle with fear. And living hope gives us confidence that things will turn out right. I thought about loneliness. Living hope gives us purpose. See, lots of times we think loneliness can be solved by simply getting in a room with a bunch of people. You know, and I know, because we've all experienced this, you can be incredibly lonely in the middle of a group of people. And yet, if I have purpose, I'm not lonely. Talked about sorrow, sadness, which was mentioned. Deep sorrow. And I'm not going to say that it turns to laughter, because it doesn't sometimes. But living hope does give us comfort in the middle of sorrow. All because Jesus is alive. And you know, because Jesus is alive, we can have that intimate relationship that was talked about. We can know Jesus better and better. And because it's living, it keeps on growing. It keeps on getting better and closer. And we know him better, and in the process, we know ourselves better. And we have forgiveness of sins, and we have a reason to live, and we have purpose. And all these things are true, all because Jesus is alive. And there's something else that we have. We have eternal life. Now, I realize that many times when we talk about eternal life, that it seems really, really far away. And there's a phrase that used to be used a long time ago called pie in the sky faith and that type of thing. But bottom line is that eternal life really is something to be thinking about. And from the story we heard this morning, your child is with Jesus. I know your child is with Jesus. In fact, I would say your child knows Jesus better than any of us in the room do right now. And that's good to know. That's good to know that there's a hope and that there's an end that is a good end. Now, we're going to get to the rocks. And this, everybody's got a rock on their chair. You certainly don't have to do this, but if you'd like to do this, you'll also notice at the end of the aisle, there is a little cup and it's got markers in it. And I want to encourage you to... Somebody who's on the end of the aisle there, grab the cup and just take a marker and then take that little rock and think about what living hope would look like for you. I just mentioned a lot of things, but what does living hope look like for you today? What is the thing that you would love to experience with Jesus? I'm going to ask you if you'd like to write it on that rock. Okay, now I realize they're little rocks, so you got to write small, but I would encourage you to do that. Why do this with a rock of all things? Well, a couple of reasons for it. Number one, rocks can sometimes be considered barriers. When we read the Easter story, the crucifixion and the Easter story, the Passion, there was a rock, a rather big rock, that was put in front of the grave. But God rolled that rock away. And his son was alive. And I guess you could look at that little rock you've got there as a barrier, but maybe you could do this. Maybe you could take whatever that thing is that you're hoping for and write it on that rock. And take it home with you. And put it someplace where you can be reminded, because, and if you want to really have fun with it, have the rock, and then you can take your time to roll the rock if you want and be reminded of the living hope that God has given you in what area of whatever area in your life it happens to be. And I would just encourage you to take the time to do that right now and to do some thinking about that, maybe asking God, what is my living hope for today? What is the hope I need today? And put it on that rock. And then just take it home in the end. Stick it Stick it in your kitchen, on the windowsill. Stick it on your desk where you work. Stick it on your workbench, in your car. You decide. That's up to you. That's not up to me. But take the time to do that. And let God speak to you in the weeks and months to come simply through that word on that rock, reminding you of what he's going to do. Living hope. Something we all desperately need. Hey, you know, we talked about eternal life, and again, a lot of people say, eternal life, man, that's way down the future. I'm not even thinking about that right now. I maintain that it's important to be thinking about eternal life, and that's what I've got the string for. I'd like you to imagine that this string represents your life, and if you look carefully at the end down here, there's a little section that's blue, probably way back in the corner. You probably can't see it. You'll just have to trust me on this one. Little blue thing, that is your earthly life. 70 years, 80 years, 60 years, whatever it might be. About a year and a half ago, I did a funeral in the St. Cloud area for a young man who was 13 years old. Fell off a hay wagon. You may have heard about that. This is your life on earth, and the string is eternity. Now, the analogy breaks down because it ends at the railing over there. In actuality, if this were really going to represent eternity, it'd go right through the wall and right through the parking lot and up in the sky, and those guys in that rocket ship going to the moon would look out the window and say, what's that string there for? You know? But see, here's the deal. The decision I make here affects everything that happens there. And we forget that sometimes. We forget that God offers us eternal life, and eternal life really is eternal. And I can remember being a kid going to Sunday school because, you know, I was one of those people that started going to church about 9 months before they were born and more or less kept going ever since. And Miss Minnie, who was our Sunday school teacher, was talking about heaven. And she said, heaven's going to be wonderful. It's going to be like an eternal church service. I was like 7. Well, that didn't sound so good to me. I actually said that and was ushered to the presence of my father. But eternal life fascinated me, and I started studying it, and I realized that there are a couple of things that the Bible says about eternal life, and one of them is that what eye has not seen or ear heard, or has even entered into the thoughts of man, what God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, give it your best shot. I can think of an eternal worship service. That doesn't appeal to me, okay? But it says, give it your best shot, the best imagination you've got. And some of us in the room have really good imaginations. No matter what you can imagine, God says it's better. Maybe it's finally living the life we were always meant to live in total intimacy with him, with no end in sight. Maybe it's fulfilling the purposes we were always meant to fulfill, but it got derailed with Adam and Eve. Point is, all of us need to make a decision. That little blue speck down there, which is the time we've got on this planet, to make a decision about what we're going to do with Jesus, and what we're going to do with Jesus will affect everything else that happens in all of eternity. But the beautiful thing is that it isn't just about eternity, as I mentioned. It's also about help in this life. One of the things that I've become convinced of is our God is the God of the eternal or infinite do-overs. We experienced that just this last week. For those of you who don't know, Sharon and I help at a school for Native Americans on the Leech Lake Reservation, Christian school. We're doing discipleship and training of various kinds. And one of our students this past week on Tuesday passed her final GED test. It's hard for me to communicate how huge that is. We are going to have a party. We asked her where she wanted to go. She said, Pizza Ranch, of course. So we're going to be going to Pizza Ranch later on sometime this week, and we're going to celebrate. She quit high school 4 months before she was supposed to graduate because she, instead of going to high school, she wanted to do drugs. And she did them. And she met Jesus. And Jesus turned her life around. And now, as a single mom with two kids, not only was she going to our school, but she got her GED. That's what living hope does. Now, is everybody's story the same? Absolutely not. Everybody's story is different. But we all have the opportunity, because Jesus is alive, to have Jesus involved in our lives. Every single one of us. Now, we talked about living hope, but I want to take it back to that word born again, which was kind of a hot word for a long time in our culture. Everybody talked about being born again, and you go to football stadiums, and you'd either see people holding up John 3:16, and a lot of people go, what in the world is that? Or you'd say, you must be born again. You see signs like that someplace out on the two-lane highways in Minnesota, and what in the world is that? Very simply, it's a phrase Jesus used when he was talking to someone, and he said, well, you must be born again. It's time for a spiritual birth. This is what needs to happen. And sometimes we get the idea that it's really, if I want to believe in God, it's really up to me to straighten myself out and make myself be good, and somehow if I can just be good enough, then maybe I'm in, because maybe God just grades on a curve, you know? And the Bible is really, really clear that that is not the case. Actually, this is really, really good news, because you know and I know how hard it is to keep resolutions, you know? Just think back to January 1st and, you know, how much weight you were going to lose by now, you know? Didn't work that way. It's so hard for us to fix ourselves. And that's why God chose to break into our lives in the form of Jesus Christ, coming, living as a man, living a perfect life, going to the cross for us. Bible says all have sinned and they fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short. None of us can reach God's standards on our own. Not a one of us, not anybody in the room. It'd be like, you know, having a contest here to see who could jump and touch the ceiling. Well, there are people that could get a lot higher than me, but nobody's going to get near the ceiling. We just can't do it. Then it says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, even though we're dealing with a sin issue that has separated us from God, Jesus Christ came and he took the punishment for our sin. He took the penalty. If you want to look at it this way, this is the book of my life. It's just full of all the bad things I've done. When Jesus went to the cross, you know what God did? God took all those bad things I've done and placed him right on Jesus. And Jesus paid the penalty for those sins. Which what? Leaves me free. To do what? To respond to God's offer of eternal life. Not God's demand that we be good, but God's offer. You notice that word up there? He has caused us to be born again. We don't cause ourselves to be born again. He causes us to be born again. And he does so by inviting us to start a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. God gives us that ability to become a child of God, to believe in Jesus if we choose to receive Jesus. And how do we do that? How do we do that? Join this church? No. It's not it. Live a better life? Nope. Give a lot of money away? Nope. None of that stuff. Three little things. I like to call it ABC. It works really well. Somebody's going to say, oh, that's too simple. It can't be that simple. Actually, it is. based on the Word of God. Number one, first thing, A, admit that I have sinned against God, which shouldn't be hard to do because we all know what we're really like. Okay? That should be easy. Simply admit that I have sinned. Understand that because I have sinned and God is a just God, I'm liable to judgment. But then, B, believe that God sent Jesus, his son, to die on the cross for us and raise from the dead and offer to give us living hope and a new life and eternal life. Just believe that. Ample evidence in the Word of God. And you know, there's evidence in this room, lives all over the place in this room of people who have done just that. And God has changed their lives. And they know they have eternal life. And then see, this one's a little bit different. Ask Jesus to come into your life. Ask Jesus to come into your life and bring his life with him. And that begins a relationship where we continue to grow and continue to grow while we're on this earth. And then at some point, when we step out of this life, we step into eternal life. Now, for some here, this may have been a really good reminder of what we believe and why we believe what we believe. For others, hey, this may be brand new. This may be absolutely brand new. But that's okay. Bottom line is, everyone has the opportunity to choose to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to hang on to that word intimate that was shared earlier. That's a good word for today. So this is what I'd like to do. You've had a chance to write. Everybody who wants to write on a rock now has written on a rock. And those who don't want to write on a rock, you didn't write on a rock. And that's okay. That's fine. But this is what I'd like to do. I'd like to give you the opportunity to begin a relationship with Jesus today. It's very simple. I would just like to lead you in a prayer and basically just ask you to repeat to Jesus what I pray. You say, whoa, wait a minute. Those aren't my words. Those aren't my words. Those are your words. Yeah, that's true. But you know, I've done a lot of weddings, and I've yet to say to a groom, please look at your bride and repeat after me. And then I say the bride's name, Sandy, I love you with all my heart. And I've never had a groom look at me and say, those aren't my words. Sometimes we just need help because we're not sure what to say. And so I want to give you the opportunity to talk to Jesus and start a relationship with him. Now, it's a relationship, which means it doesn't end today. This isn't it. It means you start a relationship, but it's a relationship that has living hope, and it's a relationship that has God's help, and it's a relationship that gives us purpose and meaning even in the hardest, hardest, hardest times of life. And God has never promised to shield us from every hard time. But he has promised to always be with us. So if you'd like to start a relationship with Jesus, like to know that you have eternal life, I would just like to ask you to repeat this prayer. And maybe we could do this. It's pretty normal in churches for people to bow their heads and close their eyes. I'd invite you to do that if you'd like. And simply pray this prayer to Jesus. Talk to Jesus and simply say to him this. Say this. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I admit that I have sinned. I know that I deserve punishment. But I thank you because you took my punishment. Please come into my life. Make me new. Give me a relationship with you. And help me to know you better. Thank you. Thank you for giving me eternal life. Help me to know you better in the future. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that and you said, hey, I really want to start a relationship with Jesus, I just want to say you've just taken that first step. And I want to invite you to continue taking steps. And I want to ask you to do something today. You've got these little cards on your chair. And if you'd just be willing to put your name and either a phone number or an email address on that, it'd be fine. But I'd like you to do something else. On the back of that card, would you just write the word yes? Just write yes. So I'm saying, yes, I began a relationship with Jesus on Easter Sunday, April 5th, 2026. 1,993 years after Jesus rose from the dead. And what's going to happen? I mean, we're going to take a look at the cards and somebody's going to contact you and say, hey, could we sit down and talk? I'd like to explain more about what it means to follow Jesus. But I just want to invite you to do that. And after you do that, there's some baskets out in the atrium. And just feel free to put one of these cards in the basket and the staff will take care of it. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up here if they can get by this string. And I'd like to ask that we just pray together. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I want to thank you for what this day means. I want to thank you for life. I want to thank you for the intimacy that you offer us. I want to thank you for your presence, even in difficult times. I want to thank you for helping us in so many ways. I want to thank you for helping our friend Rhonda this last week with the GED. Little thing for a lot of us, a huge thing for her. Thank you for that. And I want to pray for each person in the room that each one of us would have an encounter with you today or continued encounters with you and that you would draw us always closer to you, to who you are and what you want for us. Help us, Jesus. Help us to know you better. And for those who truly did begin a relationship with you today by praying that prayer, help them to know that you are indeed in their lives. Help them to know you better. Help them to love you more. Help them to see your help when it's coming. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the fact that you are alive. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.